Yes, it is. And I'm joined by the wonderful and great Dennis Stewart. Good afternoon, Dennis.
Oh, thank you, Amanda. Those intros get better and better every week.
They do. I work on them at home.
I'm very impressed. Thank you so much.
Now, Dennis, last week you started to speak about famous American herbs. You explained the role of slippery elm.
Yes.
And today you want to talk about the iconic American herb known as golden seal. You particularly want to encourage the cultivation of this herb due to its increasing rarity and value.
Yes, look, I think it needs to be pointed out to listeners one fact that pertains particularly to the American spectrum of herbs that we so desperately depend upon, that they are increasingly becoming rare, certainly scarce, and as a result, costly. And what I wanted to do with Golden Seal was encourage those small farmers, plenty of whom listen to this program in the Hunter, to take seriously my encouragement to take on board some of what I'm going to say about golden seal, which is easily one of the most lucrative herbs in the marketplace and rare in the United States now, relatively easily cultivated, but relatively unknown by herb growers or agricultural specialists in this country. I want to talk a bit about this topic and then look at this remarkable herb without which we would be terribly compromised in our professional practice of Western herbalism.
We're talking about golden seal. Dennis, can you talk about the cultivation of it?
Yeah, look, one of the reasons I want to take this topic up, spearheaded by our discussion on golden seal, is to emphasise the scarcity of herbs and also to emphasise an industry which in this country up to this point, in my opinion, has not adequately taken off. Listeners might be interested to know that in the United States, herb cultivation is very, very big, particularly by small farmers, and also wild crafting. That is, families for generation have built businesses around foraging for medicinal herbs, marketing those medicinal herbs to exporters, and building a business around it. We depend upon that activity in this country greatly for our supply of many of the American herbs we use. Scarcity. Now, golden seal represents one of these herbs that, as I said, is rare, scarce, very valuable. But yesterday I had an interesting experience which encouraged me to take this topic up just for a few moments, and that is to try to encourage listeners, particularly who are interested in gathering herbs, cultivating them, and marketing them. I was on my property in North Rothbury, and an area of it is very damp, very acidic soil. And there, before my eyes, was the herb known as sundew growing prolifically. Now, listeners won't know very much about that, but sundew in Europe is virtually extinct. Botanically known as Drosera rotundifolia, there are numerous species of sundew. And sundew in herbal medicine, as Dr. Weiss tells us in his book on herbal medicine, that herb is one of the most reliable and valuable herbs for addressing chronic cough conditions that at times reach asthmatic levels. A remarkable herb used both by homeopathic practitioners and herbal medicine practitioners, which now is impossible to purchase on the world stage. But yesterday, there it was, growing in virgin country in the Australian bush. Yes, Drosera, not rotundifolia, but Drosera peltata, which is the Australian species of sundew, which is equal in its therapeutic capacity as Drosera rotundifolia from Europe. Now, my daughter Rachel, who works in my business and does a little bit of manufacturing for me, has been doing some work on sundew. Next week when she comes, we're going to head to the property. We're going to harvest some fresh sundew because of my practice needs, but also to encourage those that are interested in looking to the Australian wild for medicinal herbs which grow there in proliferation. I used to run field excursions for my students, both that were studying at the university and within Southern Cross Herbal School. We would go into the field and spend a day or two looking for herbs. That is an activity which I would encourage. And when I saw sundew yesterday, I thought, well, I'm talking tomorrow about golden seal, a rare herb, but Here's a herb which is equally rare, growing wild, ignored. It's a good example of what I'm trying to say to those listeners that listen to this program more from the point of view of what can we do with the herb, where can we get it, how can we grow it. And I know, for instance, Amanda, that golden seal, botanically known as Hydrastis canadensis, grows in this country. And you know why? Because probably 20, 25 years ago, myself and two of my students, we brought in plants of golden seal through customs into Australia. They were put in customs for, I think, about 3 or 4 months. And then we took them out, all very legally, and we demonstrated they could grow in Australia, and they grew exceedingly well down Barrel Way, where it was a little bit cooler, the soil a little bit more volcanic. They took off like you wouldn't believe. We demonstrated it could be done, and subsequently we imported legally again some seeds of golden seal and had them propagated for us. Again, very easy to do. That is a herb that is rare, can be grown, seeds can be propagated. Seedlings, I believe, could still be imported. I'm sure there's no restriction on it. One would do it legally as starting ground for it. But the person that takes up the challenge as a small farmer and cultivator to go out and build an enterprise, particularly around what the Americans do, small farming and growing particularly golden seal in this country, will do remarkably well. That's the herb golden seal. I'll talk about it in a moment and how it's used and what its therapeutic properties are.
Well, I was going to say, do you eat it or is it turned into a tablet?
You would not want to eat it. I will talk about its capacity in a moment.
No worries.
You wouldn't want to eat it, Amanda.
We're talking about golden seal. You don't have to talk about golden seal, but we are at the moment. Dennis, could you talk about the therapeutic benefits of it?
Oh, look, I'd love to do that because there are so many possibilities for this herb, and I emphasise the point that without access to this remarkable American herb, which has characterised the practice of Western herbalism now for a couple of hundred years, even though it is an indigenous to the United States, as I said last week, Western herbalism is very much based on and dependent on the herbs and the ideas that came from the great herbal revival stimulated by Samuel Thompson a couple of hundred years ago. Golden seal would occur in so many formulations and treatments for so many conditions that I could virtually talk all day, but it is a herb that is renowned because it has an application to so many conditions that apply to what are called the mucous membranes of the body. For instance, golden seal contains some chemistry in it that is known as alkaloids. And those alkaloids have, interestingly, a useful, broad-spectrum antimicrobial capacity. Now, listeners say, well, what does that mean? Well, in simple terms, it has an ability to function as a natural antibiotic and is used in conditions that are yielding not to the mainstream approach. Sometimes infections which occur keep recurring despite the activity of modern antibiotics. Chronic recurrent infections continue to occur, and it's useful to be able to access alternative plants that have a genuine antimicrobial action. So golden seal, for instance, is remarkably effective, again, in conjunction with the herb that we've spoken about frequently on this program, known as echinacea. Those two herbs frequently come together and are used by herbalists in compounding liquid preparations that are used to address many chronic infections that affect what are called the mucus-secreting membranes. So a good example would be that, say, a stubborn condition of the upper respiratory tract, say, a stubborn condition of sinusitis. If we put it in simple terms, mucousy conditions that are stubborn of the upper respiratory tract, conditions such as eustachian tube catarrh, postnasal drip, those stubborn conditions which frequently present to medical herbalists, because very frequently the mainstream approach, useful as it most certainly is, sometimes isn't the answer. Putting together a combination of the American herb golden seal in liquid form with also the American herb known as echinacea is a useful standby to treat many of those mucousy, sinusy conditions that proliferate in our society and unfortunately are so frequent at this time of the year. So again, I emphasise it's a herb for addressing infections of predominantly infections of the mucous membranes, usually in conjunction with other remedies, again, frequently American, such as echinacea, which give to medical herbalists good results in many cases, particularly of the upper respiratory tract. And I've said conditions there which tend to yield to it when prescribed over a period of time, conditions such as sinusitis, chronic sinusitis, eustachian tube catarrh, or what used to be called glue ear, those sorts of conditions, even some chronic recurrent conditions of conjunctivitis, with oral medication necessarily incorporating this remarkable remedy, Golden Seal, that is frequently the breakthrough in many of those conditions. And I pass that on to listeners who are battling with conditions such as that, that they should consider preparations, see their local compounding pharmacist, see a medical herbalist, a naturopath who has a dispensary, and discuss those two herbs as herbs that we mentioned on the program, particularly for those conditions, like I said, eustachian tube catarrh, sinusitis, conjunctivitis, conditions of a chronic recurrent nature. That's the way to think of Golden Seal.
This is Health Naturally on 2NURFM, and we've got Surin from Queensland on the line. Hi, Surin. How can we help you?
Oh, okay. Thank you very much. Hello, Dennis. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure. Thank you for ringing.
I just want to ask you about my daughter. Yes. She had some skin like an eczematous or psoriatic lesions on the forehead near the hairline.
Yes.
And it's been there for the last few months, probably around a year.
How old is your daughter, Suin?
She's 27.
Okay.
And, you know, she works as a chemical engineer and has to wear the helmet at the work and at the exact same line where helmet goes.
Yeah. Look, it sounds to me as though it could be what is sometimes referred to as seborrheic dermatitis.
Okay,
That can, in my experience, be related to conditions where the skin has been covered or where headgear has been worn, where it's hot and humid. That I would think that would be a reasonable interpretation without seeing the condition. That comes to mind.
Yeah, sometimes it peels the skin, depends on the dyes. And I got your GA cream about 3 weeks ago.
Yes, yes.
They started putting it, but off and on it get better and come back where it was sometime.
Okay, and look, that is a good cream. Anything based on glycyrrhetinic acid, as the GA cream is useful for addressing those conditions. But if they keep recurring, you might have to use something a little bit stronger to see if that does the trick. Has she had the condition for a long time?
I would say probably about 7 to 8 months.
And has she had, has a GP had a look at it?
Yeah, GP had a look. He gave some cream, probably antifungal, and he uses steroid as well. As long as he uses it, it goes away and then come back.
Okay. Look, without seeing it, it's a little bit difficult. I'm pretty good on the skin, though. That's what got me into this profession. What I would suggest is think about using something topical with some tea tree oil based in it. You can get you can get a cream or an ointment. I think there are a number of companies in this country that make tea tree-based preparations. Now, I've found that useful, particularly where there's a suspicion of a fungal in condition, as there seemingly has been. The use of a tea tree-based preparation, persevered with and applied fairly frequently, may build up a degree of resistance or give you a fairly safe ongoing management of the condition. I think those couple of recommendations would come in play. I think using the GA cream is good, but let me just say, if the GA cream that you are using hasn't got a bit of a smell about it, there's a GA complex cream also that has a small amount of oil of cade or pine tar in it.
I got a GA cream 3 weeks ago from your office.
Yes. Now, has it got complex beside it, written on it? My point is that the complex cream has a little bit of pine tar in it, and pine tar is very, very useful for chronic scaling conditions, which are also a little bit irritable or itching. What I will do, and happily my staff will send up to you if you leave your address at the with my receptionist here today, we'll happily send you up some GA complex with a little bit of pine tar in it. But in the meantime, get hold of some tea tree-based ointment to address the possibility that it is a recurrent fungal condition which would tie in with perhaps where you're living.
And in the meantime, continue applying the GA cream,
Certainly. If it's doing something, it's worthwhile persevering. The compound one might be a little bit more effective, particularly if it's got this scaling characteristic.
Yep. Yeah, and tea tree oil, the cream, is there any particular percentage tea tree oil in that?
Anything made with tea tree oil in it that's made commercially would be made to a particular standard. So I guess what I'm saying is go to your pharmacy first, because they would likely stock the product and it would have been made by a TGA-licensed manufacturer and therefore likely to incorporate a standard recommended percentage of tea tree oil. You have to be cautious with tea tree oil. It can be an irritant if it's not used properly, but when it occurs, as I've used it frequently in a very small percentage, it can sometimes be absolutely, I consider it to be remarkable for addressing fungal conditions where if they're on the skin or in more sensitive areas of the body.
Yeah, and if this will work as well if it's seborrheic dermatitis, as you said?
Seborrheic dermatitis, I think if that were the case, you should confirm my suspicion here that it might be that, because there might be something topically by way of a wash or a lotion that your pharmacist, I'd go to your pharmacy first up.
Okay.
Our pharmacists these days are encouraged to participate as a first line of approach. And over my many years of teaching, I've had some very, very good friends made who have been pharmacists who have turned out to be excellent in compounding. Talk to them, get them, if possible, get your daughter to present so that they can have a look at it. But it sounds as though it might be seborrheic dermatitis. There might be a good a lotion there that might not have to be steroid to address the problem. So I think fish around a little bit, but what I've suggest is worthwhile giving a go, in my opinion.
Okay, that would be great.
Thanks, sir. And just give Sally a call back in reception and pass on your details, your address, and Dennis can sort you out.
Oh, that would be great. Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Thanks a lot.
Take care. Bye. Next, we've got Janelle from Abermain. Hi, Janelle. Thanks for holding. How can we help you?
Oh, hey, I heard Dennis talking about the golden seal for mucus. I just thought I'd ask about it helping for lungs, problems with lungs.
Janelle, what sort of lung condition do you have?
I did have hypersensitive pneumonitis from my birds.
Yes.
And I got better, but I've recently got RSV,
yes,
and I've been on antibiotics for it.
Yes,
and it's been like nearly 6 weeks now, and I'm still coughing up stuff and getting breathless. Yes. And
look, golden seal, if it were to be used here, would need to be prescribed by a professional, someone who knew how to prescribe it in the right dosage, and also in conjunction with other remedies that it usually goes together with to address some of these infective, inflammatory, respiratory conditions you're talking about. what I would be suggesting is that a golden seal in a liquid form should be compounded here with two other herbs, one of which I've mentioned called golden seal, and the other one is a European herb, which is a companion remedy to golden seal and echinacea, and that is a herb called elecampane. Now, those three herbs are usually standby remedies, particularly for a chronic respiratory infections and nasty conditions that have been characterised by tissue damage, inflammatory activity. You're being well managed, obviously, by your good doctors there, some of whom I suspect I know. It might be worthwhile, Janelle, mentioning that you've had a word with me to see if the use of those three herbs, when prescribed properly, might be useful, either in conjunction with what your good doctors have prescribed or subsequent to your going off those when it is appropriate for you to do so, and let the herbs, if you like, continue on the work in a sense of tidying it up. But don't attempt in any way to use those yourself. They're professional herbs, particularly golden seal. It needs to be prescribed properly, and you should prescribe it in your case, or you should discuss it in your case with your medical managers to see if they're open to the application of those couple of herbs.
Yeah, I'm very sensitive because I also have fibromyalgia and also have an infection at the moment.
Yes. Well, this is why I've suggested that your interest in herbs is great. I think that there's a lot that could be useful for you for addressing some of your problems. But in this particular case of pneumonitis, you need to do anything only with your medical managers, and I have mentioned golden seal as perhaps a useful remedy when combined with two other companion remedies, particularly to address any chronic lingering symptoms associated with this condition you're being treated for.
Yeah, what was the other two? I'm just writing them down now.
Okay, golden seal.
Yep.
Echinacea.
Yeah.
And elecampane, ELECAMPANE.
I have heard of that before.
Well, that's good. That's good. You must be doing a bit of reading.
Many years of looking into alternative stuff.
That's good. Well, it's interesting because I see so many patients and interested people that come into my session that I do at Cessnock who come from Abermain. So one of my most startling cases was in treating a dear lady from Abermain who did very well on my medication for many years. Must be something about Abermain.
Yeah, I've only lived here a couple of years. I used to live in Gunnedah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, there's a big jump from there, but Gunnedah is a coal mining town and Abermain was built on coal.
Yeah, that's right.
Thank you so much for your call, Janelle. Really appreciate it and good luck with everything.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
We've got Di from Corlette on the phone. Hi, Di, how can we help you?
Hi. I've just got a question. When you were mentioning about the combination of the golden seal and echinacea for possibly for conjunctivitis, is it safe to use on children?
Any of those conditions need to be, in my opinion, treated by a medical practitioner. And some medical practitioners that use herbs would prescribe those herbs in various forms. I would not recommend them to be used topically. I'm talking about those herbs being used as oral medication as perhaps a way of addressing a chronic recurrent conjunctival condition. We're not talking about using them in a topical form.
Thank you.
How old's the child?
There's two. They just get it from daycare constantly, the grandchildren.
Well, look, certainly run it past your GP. Prescribed properly, and particularly with reference to golden seal, prescribed properly and for a child in the correct dose, it could be useful. But again, a child of that age in my opinion, needs to be primarily medically treated and even to see a paediatrician if the condition keeps recurring.
Yes, they have done so.
Yes, of course.
Thank you for that. One other question.
Yes.
Just the previous lady who had the lung condition,
yes.
That combination of the golden seal, echinacea, yes. And elecampane,
yes.
Is that taken as a course, as an ongoing thing?
It could be. Where you have a chronic or recurring condition, that combination could be most useful as an ongoing preparation in low dose over a longer period of time. It would form what could be called a good respiratory tonic preparation with antimicrobial characteristics. Let me just say, any medication, but particularly herbal medication, should be given a pause every now and then so that the body can adjust its sensitivity to it. And also a detox program can take place in case there's been any build-up of anything from any of the medication which has not been recognised. Those three herbs, let me say, are so popularly used by competent, professionally trained herbalists and pharmacists and some doctors whom I know would use those herbs confidently also because of their use of herbs as well as their prescription medications. But they need to be formulated correctly, taken in the right dosage. Long-term use, in my opinion, would be safe if it was taken in a low dose with periodic pausing to see the result that you hope would emerge from taking them. But again, I say, if you're dealing with a chronic condition for which those herbs is going to be used, it would pay you, in my opinion, to see a professional to get the whole thing profiled, recorded, formulated, and a dose prepared for you.
That's brilliant. And you do that.
Yes, that's those three herbs are so frequently prescribed in my practice and have been for the last 40-odd years. And that's why I was keen to point out that with reference to the amazing remedy Golden Seal, the increasing scarcity of it is frightening when we consider the ramifications that would have on what we refer to as the Western tradition of herbal medicine.
And it's not grown in Australia.
Ah, look, we demonstrated it could be grown in this country, but it might surprise you to know, Di, that a number of years ago, well, more than a number of years ago now, 20 years ago, I toured Australia giving lectures on herb cultivation, one-day seminars, and huge audiences turned up in Melbourne, in Ivatari, the university down here. We held a seminar there on growing medicinal herbs. A lot of people turned up, but unfortunately very few of them took it up. Interestingly, those that took it up mostly were New Zealanders. And I frequently
My home country.
I'm allowed to say here, I think because of my long-term association with Professor Elliott, who was the professor of physics from this university, he studied herbal medicine with me on his retirement, and he and I grew the herb echinacea on his small farm in Peach Orchard Road, Arimba, and he and his dear wife, Nairi, now you'd have to recognise Nairi as a New Zealand name, they had green fingers. They had green fingers, and particularly Nairi. Both of them are now passed on, but they became almost part of our family years ago, and I treasure the times out when four of us, my dear wife, and this they were great people, and the New Zealanders took it up, and as far as I'm aware, we can import some of the herbs from New Zealand, but why Australians don't do it, I don't know, particularly. But this might be the lucky country still.
Thanks for your call, Di. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you
so much. Bye-bye.
Bye. Next on the line, we have Karen from Fern Bay. Hi, Karen.
Hello. How are you
Good,
both?
Thanks.
Good,
thanks
Karen.
For holding. What can we do for you?
I'm just wanting to ask if either of you have ever heard of AgeMate. It's something that's a product that's online, and it's like a vitamin supplement, but it's in powder form.
Karen, my response to that is that number one, I'm always skeptical about therapeutic mm-hmm. products being promoted online. Let me just say that from my experience and observation, many of them are put online from people in overseas countries. This sounds to me as though it might be an American product.
No, it's Australian.
Okay, well, if it's Australian and it's making therapeutic claims online, the implication of that is that it has been legally approved, because any therapeutic product in Australia that's making mm-hmm. therapeutic claims is to have a registration number. Now, if it has that, fine. If not, be a little bit suspicious about it. If it has gone through all the requirements and the claims are valid, it must be, because it's online. I would say that okay, it's probably all right. But I've not heard of the product, and I've just brought in that caution as a general caution to many listeners.
Yeah, those things as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Good on you.
I'm just trying to get off taking pills all the time.
Yeah, well, depends upon what pills you're taking. Some pills are probably keeping you alive, my dear.
I mean vitamins. Yeah.
Oh, okay. You've heard my statement on this program very many times that Australians take too many pills, too many vitamins, too many supplements, and I admire you for wanting to rationalise the situation. I have numerous patients coming to my rooms with almost a chaff bag full of supplements that they're taking, wanting to know what's this for, and at the end of the day, very frequently you'll find they're taking crossover supplements, spending too much money, and rationalising their routine as saving them a lot of money.
Now,
that's not in any way at all to criticise the genuine retailers of herbal products in this area in particular. We've got the best as far as I'm concerned, but people can get hooked up with just thinking that the more you take, the healthier you're going to be. It can be quite the contrary.
Yeah, very much so, yeah. Mm. And one more question, if you don't mind.
We've got about 50 seconds.
What herb would you describe to be the best for cold sores?
Oh, okay. The best herb to take for cold sores, I'll be quick. There is an amino acid called lysine, L-Y-S.
I take that, yeah.
That's good. You've got to take it in reasonably high dosages. But then you need to take something like echinacea or astragalus ongoingly. Oh. The worst case I've ever treated of what you call cold sores was adequately managed with the combination known as astragalusate.
Okay.
Thank you very, very much.
All right,
no worries. Thanks for your call.
Bye, Karen.
Appreciate it. Dennis, we are out of time. It has been a busy, busy day.
Well, we covered a few things, didn't we?
We have. We'll have to talk more about Golden Seal next week.
We'll have to. Yeah, fascinating.
Good topic.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.